Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode, I'm going to focus on how to lose weight and not rebound after and the negative effects of crash dieting or just dropping your calories too low so that your body rebounds back badly on the other side. So there's a couple of areas I'm going to cover in this episode. People send me a lot of messages about going on different juice diets, different bar diets, very highly calorie restricted diets, and then how they rebound out the other side. I recently had a couple of girls come through my online top 50 program that had just came off the back of a juice diet where they had rebounded back worse than their starting point, and we had to try and fix their metabolism and then get them back on track. Thankfully, one of them actually put a before and after on my social media. So it's something that can be fixed. But I'm going to talk first on how to lose body fat and how to lose weight the right way, and then the effect of crash dieting and how that can have a negative effect on your body. So the best way always, if you're trying to lose body fat or lose weight or for whatever your physique goals are, is making sure that everything you do is in alignment with that specific goal. So your training, your nutrition, your cardio, your supplements, everything's all geared towards losing body fat or losing weight. So what happens sometimes when you crash diet and you drop your calories into a massively restricted state too soon is you start to have an increase or a decrease in things like your leptin, your ghrelin hormones, the things that regulate satiation, that regulate hunger, that tell you when you're hungry and full. They can get down regulated. So what happens is, even though you lose weight and a lot of it is muscle and water in the beginning when you drop your calories or carbohydrates too low, and you can upset those and down regulate those hormones, so you end up rebounding worse off the other side. So the best way that I have found, and again, the context is key here, and it looks different for each person, but the main thing is making sure that you're in a calorie deficit or that you're in some form of deficit from either eating a calorie maintenance, which is the amount of calories your body needs to stay the same weight, and then getting a deficit from your training program. I have personal preferences that I like, and I'll talk about some of them in this episode, but there's loads of different ways. There is no one right way. You know, there's things like your paleo diet that will work for some people. IIFYM, if it fits your macros, will work for some people. Flexible dieting, where you're lenient and you're strict 80% of the day and very lenient in the other 20%, will work incredible for some people. Things like training programs, CrossFit will work for some people, bodybuilding will work for other people, and conditioning workouts will work, tension style training will work. There's loads of different things that will work for different people. So it's about finding what works best for you and then fitting it into your lifestyle and schedule. Everybody that you will listen to on social media or trainers in the gym will have personal preferences. The only people I would tell you to avoid is the people that tell you there's only one way to do it. If they're telling you you need to be low carb and you need to lift heavy weight to lose body fat or whatever it is, they're the people to avoid, regardless of anybody that has such a dogmatic approach. And I love the Charlie Munger quote, to the man with the hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. If all you have is a fucking hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if you have somebody that, a trainer or somebody that has worked with one system that has worked and doesn't believe any other system works, avoid those people. But the truth is, there's so many incredible trainers out there. I know a lot myself, people that are in gyms, online, and they know there's different systems that work for different people. So it's about finding what works best for you. Somebody can lose weight with low carbohydrates. Other people need to have their carbohydrates really high in order to stay on track and not binge. You know, some people have a good relationship with food and can eat anything that a trainer gives them. Other people may have an unhealthy relationship with food, which is something I struggled with for a long time. That may lend itself to a completely different approach. So there's a lot of factors that will apply, but the one general thing is getting your body into some form of deficit from training or from nutrition or from both, and then building everything else around that. So my advice would be is to calculate your maintenance calories. You can calculate your maintenance calories by typing in BMR calculator in Google and then putting in your details. Again, there's a lot of context that's key. You'll get the lower end, and depending on the BMR calculator you use, it may vary and give you a different number, but it's going to give you a ballpark and a starting point. So if, for example, you're 25 years old, a female, And you're 5'6", it's going to say you need, whatever, 1,500 calories to stay the same weight. Again, I'm just guessing. But say 1,500 calories is your maintenance, or 1,200 calories. We'll say 15 for the sake of argument. So if you eat less than 1,500 calories, and you're assuming you're not exercising and you're not in a deficit, you should, in fact, lose weight or body fat based on that eating below calorie maintenance protocol. Again, your body's not as straightforward as 1 + 1 = 2. Some people can lose weight in by making sure that their hormones are in a good place and then getting their deficit from training. Other people who have a down-regulated ghrelin and leptin levels from after crash dieting may go into a massive deficit and still can't lose any weight because their hormones have been offset and down-regulated from a crash diet. So there's a lot of things that come into play here. So, but just to give you a base of understanding, eating your maintenance or below your maintenance should allow you to lose weight or lose body fat. So that's the most basic way to do it. You go into Google, you get your BMR calculator, you calculate that, and it gives you your starting number to work from. It doesn't take anything else into consideration, though it doesn't take your muscle mass into consideration, which would elevate your metabolism more, which means you need more calories, and your basic metabolic rate would actually be increased. If you're in an active job, if you walk to work, if you cycle home from work, all of these things are going to increase the intake of calories that you need. So that's why sometimes it can help to work with somebody to kind of give you that point. You know, the general rule is 15 to 2,000 calories for a female, and you know, 2,000 to 3,000 calories for a guy. It really, again, there's so much context that's needed, but you'll see that those are the numbers that are generally starting points, and then people work from those because it gives you kind of a general thing to start from, and then you can build a plan around that. So that's number one, is getting into your calorie deficit and making sure that your body is burnt, that you're not eating more calories than your body needs. That's number one, to lose weight and lose body fat the right way. Of course, if you crash diet and eat below 1,000 calories, you can do this. You know, there are people that will go on juice diets or go on bar diets or go on a combination of a juice and bar diet that is eating 800 fucking calories a day. If you eat 800 calories a day, you're probably going to lose weight. You're probably going to lose fast, a little bit of fat with that pretty quickly. When your carbs are so low, your carbohydrates will pull some water underneath the cell. So as soon as you cook carbohydrates, you're going to cook, quote unquote, some weight. So I have had people that have, back in the day when I used to prep people for shows, I had people that came through the MMA version of my GA Lean Body program, boxers, and they will cut weight by pulling out carbohydrates because of all the water that carbohydrates pull into the body. So you can drop scale weight pretty quickly by pulling carbohydrates and dropping carbs low. That's why I'm not a fan of using the weight as a scale unless you're overweight or obese to begin with, because it's very easy to manipulate the scale. You know, you pull all your carbohydrates out, you could drop 2 or 3 kilos in a couple of days just because there's less water in your body. You know, if you think of scale weight, if you put 5 kilos of blubbering fat onto a scale, that's going to weigh in at 5 kilos. If you put in 5 kilos of lean muscle, which is going to be a quarter of the size of the fat, and that weigh in at 5 kilos as well. So it doesn't take into any account muscle that you have. And this is both genders, because female have lean, hard, toned muscle as well. Sometimes your body fat is naturally higher because of evolutionary reasons, and depending on metabolism in each female, that can be a little bit higher. But 5 kilos is 5 kilos, regardless of whether it's from blubbering fat or from lean, hard muscle. So that's why the scale isn't always the best indicator of actual progress, the best indicator of weight, of how you're doing. Body fat and the way your clothes fit and the way you look is always going to be a better indicator. I've actually had people come through my Top 50 program, and some of them have been before and afters that, if you follow my Facebook page or Instagram page, you may have seen and liked. I've had people come through who have stayed the same weight all the way through phase one or phase two, if they're doing phase two, and their body fat will be massively reduced. I've had girls drop 2, 3, 4 dress sizes. And in one case, a girl dropped 3 dress sizes and her weight stayed the exact same, but her body fat dropped off. You know, if I asked you in the beginning, would you rather drop 2, 3 dress sizes, look really healthy, look incredible, have a lean physique that people are complimenting you on, or drop 10 kilos where you may look the same? You're probably going to opt for the dropping the dress sizes and looking better. You know, so that scale weight isn't always the best indicator. But if you cut your calories to 800 from a juice diet or a bar diet or a combination of that, you're going to lose weight pretty quickly. On top of the water that you're losing, you're going to start losing a little bit of muscle. The thing is with lean muscle, and this goes for both genders, guys and girls, muscle is going to make you metabolize, it's going to make you need more food to actually fuel your body. So having lean muscle, and then when I say lean muscle, I don't mean big jacked up bodybuilder muscle. Muscle by its nature is lean. Any girl you see that looks really, really fit and healthy and athletic has lean muscle. Any guy you see that's in really good shape and is lean and athletic, that's lean muscle. That means that your metabolism, their metabolism is going to be higher because that muscle needs to be fed. So if you drop your calories way too low, that muscle starts to atrophy. It starts to decrease and go. So not only now are you losing weight, which may be water and muscle to begin with, you're also going to start to slow down your metabolism because the more lean muscle you have, the higher your metabolism is naturally going to be. The less lean muscle you have, the slower your metabolism is going to be. So on top of the negative effects on hormones out the other side, you start to decrease your actual muscle on your body and decrease your metabolism, which means that you burn less calories through the day. So one of the things what happens to people when they drop into a juice diet and drop their calories or go into a calorie restricted diet, you may not be following a juice or a bar diet, you may have just dropped your calories very, very low. If you do this, yes, you'll lose weight initially on a scale, but when you come out the other side and you do this for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you can't do it for a long period of time because it's unsustainable, you start to rebound out the other side. So say, for example, you're a female and you started at 60 kilos, you may drop 5 kilos from going into 800 calories of broccoli and chicken or whatever it is, and then after 6 weeks you can't do it anymore, you go back eating your normal food, and next thing you know you're up at 62 kilos. So you actually rebounded back worse than when you started. One, because your ghrelin and your leptin hormone have been down regulated, so your body doesn't know when it's full and it doesn't know when it's hungry, and it takes a few weeks for that to even upregulate itself again. So that's one of the first things. So you end up overeating and eating meals and eating more food, and you can't actually get satisfied because the part of your body, your hormone in your body that tells you you're full, has been downregulated and stopped working. So that's one reason why you can do it. Two, you may have lost the amount of the level of metabolism, and the functioning of your metabolism may be, again, downregulated and gone slower because you have less muscle because you starved it for the 6 weeks prior to that. So now you're eating more calories out the other side and you don't have the lean muscle mass to burn through it, and it means you've rebounded up higher and worse off than when you started. So that's what leads to the rebound effect that people get. So, and I've seen this with countless people. I've had people come through my online program, people I've spoken with when I've done events and seminars. People have came up and been like, look, I did this crash diet or this diet I read in a magazine, and this is what happened to me. You know, I started at 60 kilos, I got down to 55, and now I'm at 64 or 65 kilos, and I'm 5 kilos heavier than I was when I started. This is some of the reason that happens. So it's very, very important to just, and this whole episode is just so I can use it as a reference point for people so that you understand what's happening. The decision you make is up to you. If you listen to this episode and you're understanding what's happening on a hormonal level, on a physiological level, on a muscular level, and then you still decide to crash diet or follow a juice diet or something that you read in a magazine, by all means, go for it. At least you know what's happening on all of those levels and you can make the decision. This episode is just to give you, and I'm not dogmatic in don't do this, you know, it's your decision what you do, and the choice you make is always going to be down to you, and I will give you full ownership of the choice that you make, but just realize that this is what's happening, and if you're wondering why you rebounded out worse the other way, out the other side, this is why. That being said, all of those negative things can be completely fixed by manipulating your training, your nutrition, and your supplementation to do it the right way. So my personal preference, anytime I've worked with my guys or girls in my online top 50 program particularly, when I've worked with those people and getting their body fat down, again, there's just different versions of the program. So depending on each person's goal, it's very specific to each person. But anyone that's looking to get body fat down or lose quote unquote weight, which I try and reframe as body fat, it is gearing the training, nutrition, supplements all towards that. So my personal favorite way to lose body fat through training is focusing on tension style workouts where you're tearing more fibers on the muscle, so you're elevating your metabolism further so that you're repairing from the workouts even while you're at home watching Game of Thrones or the Kardashians or reading your favorite magazine. You're still burning calories because your body's trying to repair from that workout. That's why I like to focus on tension style training. On top of that, it can lead to a little slightly better body composition because you're more focused on working the muscle you're trying to work. So if you're doing a squat and you're trying to build your glutes, you're focusing on your glutes on a squat. If you're a guy and you're trying to build your quads, you're focusing on your quads when you squat. You're doing things like elevating your heels, or you're doing pressing through the outside of your heel and the outside of, on the upside of your foot, so that you're loading through your quad. You're doing different things and you're putting tension on the muscle that you're trying to work. So that by itself can lead to better body composition. It can change the shape of your muscle in a better way than just moving weight as heavy as you can, hoping that it hits everything, because that's not, in my experience, the best way to change your body composition. So you get the benefit of changing your shape, so you look more athletic, or you look having a better physique, and you get to increase your metabolism through your body trying to repair from those workouts. So creating tension on the muscle is my go-to way that I have found has worked incredibly well at losing body fat on people that I've worked with and that I've applied myself. I drink the Kool-Aid. It's exactly what I do when I'm trying to lose body fat myself. So that's key. Obviously, designing your training program around your specific goals. If you're a guy, you want to focus on things like your chest, your abs, and then your overall body around it. If you're a girl, your glutes, your hamstrings, your shoulders, and then the rest of your body around it. Whatever your specific body parts you're trying to bring up are, you focus on those in your training. And then I use tension style workouts around that. Again, there's loads of different systems, but that's my personal preference and the one that I have found has worked the best with the thousands of people at this stage that I've worked with, and I found is my personal preference. The next thing then is your cardio that you choose. There's lots of different types of cardio. The main one kind of always comes back is to either HIIT, which is high intensity interval training, which is like sprints, or low intensity steady state, which is like a steady jog. And normally you're at 70% of your max heart rate, which gets into your quote unquote fat burning zone. So to calculate your max heart rate, it's 220 minus your age, and then you can do your calculation from there. So depending on your specific goals, one or the other may work better. I tend to lean towards high intensity interval training in most cases, purely because you get a better bang for your buck. It takes less time, it's a bit harder on the body, but you can burn more calories in a significantly lesser amount of time. So I tend to go towards that. How that looks, again, varies depending on the version of the program you're on. If you're in my top 50 online program, or depending on the actual program you're following from whoever it is, the cardio and the systems may look different. So I love Tabata, which is 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, and you just pick a movement, a rower, a bodyweight squat, or whatever it is, and you use that system for 4 minutes, and it's 8 rounds total. 30-30 is another one that from my book that I love. So the Fitness Mindset book, the part of the training section is 30-30, where you do a 30-second sprint, and then a 30-second recovery or rest, and you do it 10 times. So I tend to lean towards that because of the increase in actual metabolism you can get from pushing your heart rate to 90-95% if it's max, as opposed to just working in that 70% zone. But again, there are people that will do incredibly well with low intensity steady state. It just tends to take a lot longer, and you have to do 15, 20, 30 minutes to really see the response, again, depending on your overall nutrition. And then the last thing is going to be supplements. One of the issues that I have with certain supplements, and this goes for some juice supplements, it goes for some over-the-counter whey proteins that are like diet proteins, is in some case, you're right picking supplements based on losing body fat. So a diet whey protein may work incredibly well. My main issue is that the ingredients that support fat loss are massively underdosed, and they just put a small bit of it in and then charge an extra 20, 30 euros so that you buy a diet whey protein. That shit annoys the fuck out of me, because I'm just like, right, you're literally scamming people by putting a fucking pink, light blue or light green, putting diet above the whey, and then adding low dose fat burning ingredients that won't have any effect on anybody unless you're a fucking 20 kilo person. And in that case, you should probably be using something that's building you up more than a diet whey. So my advice would be to get supplements that support your metabolism, support fat loss, and then use them strategically to fill in the gaps in nutrition. The truth is, there's no fat burner on the planet that's going to work without you doing the right training program, without your cardio, and without your nutrition being on point. However, if you have your nutrition on point and you have your training program in alignment with losing body fat and losing quote unquote weight, if that's your goal, you're going to be able to use supplements that will enhance your body's ability to use fat as a fuel source. I have a couple of personal preferences. I love green tea extract, for example, because it elevates metabolism. There's a compound in green tea extract called ECGC, which can increase your metabolism, which effectively, if you look at your metabolism like a burning fire, what it can do is, and if you increase that fire, you can burn more calories. So green tea extract can enhance that. So I tend to use that as my go-to supplement for fat burning. There are over-the-counter fat burners you can buy that'll have a combination of different ingredients. But what I have found from personal experience and from I'm a long time in the fitness industry now, and particularly working with different people, the negative effect and the rebound out the other side can be similar to massively restricted eating. In the case that a lot of over-the-counter fat burner 5 million will have appetite suppressing ingredients that will mean you end up under eating because you're not hungry, and then you get all those negative effects that I've mentioned in the air at the start of the episode with your leptin, your ghrelin down regulation. You can get your metabolism starts to stall because you're not eating enough amino acids or enough fuel to support the muscle growth, and you can lose muscle, which effectively is keeping your body and your metabolism in a safe region and keeping it high. So I tend to err away from those. There are certain people, if you need to be ready for a certain date, for a photo shoot or a competition or somewhere where your body fat needs to be at a very, very low level by a specific date, there is room for those fat burners and they can be added in. But just mentally prepare yourself that you may rebound out the other side. But as long as you have a strategy and you don't under-eat massively just because you're taking the fat burners and you stop eating altogether in some cases because you don't need food if you've got a strong enough appetite suppressant, as long as you have a system in place and you haven't crash dieted with the fat burner and you have something in place when you come out the other side and you're mentally prepared that you may get a rebound, there may be a place for them. And personally, I tend to stay away from them. I think you're probably better off without them because there's so many ways to lose body fat without them. And ingredients like green tea extract, which will have antioxidant effects on the body, which will support your health on top of increasing your metabolism and on top of burning more calories, you'll actually feel better with it. And then my next one will be L-carnitine tartrate, which is an amino acid that your body, it's a non-essential amino acid, your body will produce it, but not the difference between an essential amino acid and a non-essential amino acid. An essential amino acid you need to get from food or supplements. A non-essential amino acid your body can make by itself or make it from another amino acids. But L-carnitine tartrate is a non-essential amino acid. Your body will make it, but it doesn't make it in the quantities that supports fat loss. What L-carnitine tartrate does is it takes fat from the mitochondria and pushes it into your cell to be burned as a fuel source. So if you think of, stick with the analogy of the fire in the metabolism, and if you think of pieces of paper as your body fat, what L-carnitine tartrate can do is it can take that body fat and push it into the fire. So green tea extract can elevate your metabolism, make the fire burn brighter, and L-carnitine tartrate can take the fat or the paper and put it into the fire so that you're burning through it quicker. So that's why I like those two particularly together. They tend to work very, very well. They have a very minimal effect on your central nervous system, so you don't tend to get anxious and edgy using them, and they don't have too much of a stimulant effect on the body. L-carnitine tartrate actually has none because it's an amino acid, so they are my kind of go-to supplements that I tend to use. So hopefully that makes more sense on the reasons to not crash diet or do a juice diet or do a bar diet or just massively restrict your eating. Again, it's your choice on what you do. This episode is purely to give you a bit of context on what's happening to your body from a hormonal and a physiological point of view, and then you can make the decision on what you choose to do after that. And just be aware, if you have done a diet like that and you have crash dieted or done a juice diet or something that has upset your hormones and you've rebounded back worse than when you started, it can be fixed. It's just very important that you get onto a program or work with people or work with somebody who understands the hormonal and physiological effect that crash dieting can do so that you can reset and fix your metabolism, and then you can move forward and lose weight or lose body fat the right way. So hopefully you guys got a lot of value in this episode, and it helps you and supports you moving forward. So for more information on me or for my top 50 online program or my GA Lean Body program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. For my Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, it's all Brian Keen Fitness. And my Snapchat, BrianK019, which is my most active platform at the minute. If you're following me on anything, definitely head over to my Snapchat. It's my most interactive platform. It's the one that I can open up nearly every day for Q&As back and forth. And I love that I can interact directly back and forth with people. So massive thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to Colm over at Voxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Can't recommend them enough for anyone that needs a podcast. Thanks for listening. Catch you all soon. We can't get enough.